solitary in a home, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. I love church membership. Is it too quiet? You got me, Greg? Help! All right. Psalm 68:6. God settles the solitary in a home, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God's plan for you is not that you would become a Christian and then wander around in a parched land trying to serve, trying to get strong, trying to suck enough Holy Spirit out of your experiences that you do good. His plan is that he would give you a home, that you as a Christian would have a family where you can link arms there, connect there, where you can serve and be a blessing, and you can be blessed and have other people serve you and pour into your life so you're growing and becoming strong and becoming useful in the kingdom of God. So we're welcoming some new members today. Yeah. We've got 9 new members, but only 8 made it today. Logan's doing rough. He's been sick for, 3 weeks off and on? Yeah. So, poor guy. Gotta pray for Logan. So we're gonna welcome 8 new members in the church today. And like I said, one of our traditions is, we like to pray and prophesy over the new members, just to hear what God is saying to them, to encourage you, to build you up, so you're ready just to hit the floor running. It's one of my favorite things that we do as a church. 1999, or was it 2000? 99, 2000, when I became a member of Cornerstone Church in Madison. Those new members' prophecies, they were back then it was on a tape, and then I had to take the tape years later and put it on an MP3 so I could actually listen to it nowadays. But I still go back to those prophecies, because there's stuff, when we were in Romania, there were things happening that they prophesied over me back then. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And then I got to recently re-listen to them now, because I'm sure there's stuff now that's, you know, that God spoke to me way back then. And those have been an encouragement and a source of strength through the years. There were times, especially I think about Romania, a number of times where we were like, man, is this worth it? Maybe we should just give up. Times when we were doing youth ministry here, where I thought, what's the point of all this? I'd listen to those prophecies and I go, okay, I can do this. You know, God gives you strength through these prophecies to keep fighting the fight and make it to the end. So I'm excited about that. But before we have the members come up, I want to talk for a little bit about prophecy, because there's a lot of confusion and just misinformation, and even, you know, some people are afraid of prophecy. I remember, yeah, when the first time someone prophesied over me, I was a little scared, because I'm like, what are they going to say? You know, what kind of dirt are they going to dig up? That's not the point of prophetic ministry. The point is to build you up. God wants to build you up, encourage you, strengthen you. He doesn't want to tear you down or embarrass you in front of everybody. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the enemy. And so if people have wrong ideas of prophecy or confusion, misinformation, I want to just give a quick teaching on it. It's not, you know, the be-all, end-all, everything you need to know about prophecy, but I want to give you enough so that you can have a framework on where to put this as we pray over people. But let me pray before I do that. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Thank you for all the work that you're doing in this church, the way that you're building this church, the way you have built this church through the years, and the way the sacrifice that people have made, the sacrifice that you made for this church to be here, God, and all the stuff that you've done. And Father, thank you for the plans that you have in the future even for this church, God. Thank you for the new members and the way you've drawn them in and connected their hearts to ours, God, and the things that you're going to do through them to build this church and spread the gospel and spread the kingdom of God throughout the Lake Country area. Jesus, I pray for your words today, that you give me the grace to speak what you want to say, and that your word would go out and stick into our hearts and give us greater strength and greater courage. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word to prophesy in Hebrew is nava. It simply means to prophesy. To speak on behalf of God, to announce what God is doing, to share, if God were here and speaking his thoughts, and you speak those thoughts, that's prophesy. It's interesting because this word is very similar to another Hebrew word, navach, with like a sound at the end of it, with phlegm. It's the same word, but phlegm at the end, which means to bubble up or to pour forth, which in a lot of ways is prophecy. When you prophesy over someone, you're speaking God's words over them, and it pours forth out of you from the Holy Spirit into you and out of you into that person, just a pouring forth of what God is speaking, anointed, full of the Holy Spirit. Another definition I saw in I forgot what dictionary this was for the word nava was inspired speaking. Inspired literally meaning in the spirit, from the spirit. It's one of the words that are anointed by the Holy Spirit. It's his thoughts coming out into your heart. And there's gonna be life that comes from that. Think back to like Genesis chapter 1. How did God create everything? How did life happen? His words. Prophecy is tapping into that, is using the words of God, what he's speaking into your life to bring life into you and new things into you. What's the point of prophecy? Well, let me tell you what the point is not first. The point of prophecy is not to talk about the beast is going to come on this day and this is the number and what it means. No, that's not the point of prophecy. And actually, times in the Bible where we see references like that, the correct term would be apocalyptic stuff, not prophetic stuff. The prophetic works in the Bible, and anytime you see prophecy, is not about specifically about the end times and things like that. It's not even specifically about the future. Like when we think about prophecy, a lot of times we think, oh, it means you're going to tell me what's going to happen next week or next year or 20 years down the road or 100 years down the road. And you've got guys like Nostradamus. You say, yeah, he says that the bull will align with the sheep and it means this king and that. Well, I don't know. That's not biblical prophecy. It's not, the point of it is not to condemn. It's not, you know, sometimes when you think about the Old Testament prophets and you think, oh yeah, Jeremiah got up and man, did he wail on Israel. And he pointed out all the sin here and there. Oh, and Habakkuk, yeah, he just like wailed on these guys. That's not really the point of prophecy, is to condemn you and to make you feel bad for your problems. That's not the point of prophecy. What is the point of prophecy? 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes, pursue love and desire earnestly the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. That's the main point of prophecy, biblical prophecy. It's for your upbuilding, your encouragement, and your consolation. So what do those words mean? The word upbuilding is a really cool word in Greek. It literally means to build, where there's an... They would use this word when somebody would move into an area and they wanted to build a house. They would find it, you know, an empty spot of land and they'd build a house on it. It literally means to build. Or if there's an old house that's beat up and you need to remodel it, they would use the same word there. So prophecy is God speaking over you, building new things into you, building faith, building hope, building vision, building a calling and a destiny in you. And it's remodeling old things. You know, sometimes when we're younger or when we're new in God, we get like excited and go, man, I could do this or that. And we feel the Holy Spirit leading us in a certain direction. And we get all excited like, man, I could be a missionary in Africa, or I could start this ministry to the poor, or I could start churches all over campuses or whatever it might be. We get this vision and hope and then we go to do it and we get frustrated. Things don't work out how we expect and it's just a mess. And then someone prophesies over you and they remodel that. They find this beat up old house, they start prophesying over you, and it's like God is fixing that vision. He's rebuilding it. He's restoring the things that he spoke to you in the past. That's upbuilding. That he wants to build new stuff in you, and he wants to restore and fix the old stuff that he put in you and give you faith to do it again. Encouragement. I like the word encouragement. It's, in English, it comes from the French, which comes from the old French, which doesn't come from the older French. It literally means to make courageous. You know, we use the word encourage just like without really thinking about the power there, but it means to put courage in someone. So when God prophesies, when we receive a prophetic word, God's putting courage in us and saying, you do this. I built you to do this and you can do it now. He puts his strength and his courage, his boldness inside of us so that we can get the job done for what he's called us to do. In the Greek, this word is paraklesis, which is related to and sounds a lot like one of the titles for the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, meaning comforter or advocate. When you receive a prophetic word, it's like the Holy Spirit is in that, and he puts the Holy Spirit comes upon you, goes in you with his courage, with his strength, with his boldness, says, okay, you can do this. Go out there and get the job done. Consolation. Prophecy isn't meant to hurt or condemn you. It's not meant to make you feel bad. It's not meant to, you know, embarrass you that, you know, we're not going to there are occasions where God has given really tough prophetic words to people. But we're not, if God gives us a prophetic word like that over you today, we're not going to embarrass you in front of everybody else. We're going to privately share that with you. So, but the general point of prophecy is to, you know, is consoling, is to comfort you, not to tear you down, not to make you feel bad, not to bring up old sins or past problems or failures that God's dealing with in your life. God's working with you in those things, but prophecy is not about pulling that up and showing your dirty laundry out so everybody else can see it. No, it's comforting, it's consoling, it's encouraging, and it's to build you up. In other words, you know, we like to say here, prophecy is to build you up, stir you up, and cheer you up. Easy way to think of it. 1 Timothy 4, Paul shares another thing that happens through prophetic ministry. He says, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you." One of the things that can happen in prophetic ministry is God, because the Holy Spirit's behind it, the Holy Spirit comes with all of his gifts, and so he can come and he can impart a new gift to you through prophetic ministry. When I became a member of the church, Michael, Brian, and a handful of other pastors that we had at the time prophesied over me, and a number of them said that God had given me a prophetic gift. And I was a new Christian. I didn't even really know what that meant. I kind of did a little bit, but I was like, I thought it was cool, but I didn't like public speaking. I didn't want to stand on a stage and talk to people. That terrified me. And, Michael, he goes, I love Michael. If you need some courage to do something, Michael will make sure that you rise up in courage to get the job done. So Michael goes, he's like, "So God said you got a prophetic gift. Why don't you just start prophesying?" I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, that's what everybody prophesied over you, so just do it." I'm like, "I don't know how to prophesy." And he gives me the microphone. He's like, "Sure you do. Just start talking about what you see." And it's like, I don't remember what I said. But it felt so good. Whatever came out, I'm like, it was like, okay, I got this gift now. And I started prophesying. I don't know what I said at all, but it was probably about 15 seconds, but it felt like the most powerful experience I've ever had. But God will impart a gift to you through prophetic ministry. You know, maybe there's something in your heart where you've been like, "Man, I'd love to pray for people and see them get healed." And then we pray, but you've tried it, and it's like, "Well, I don't know, it's not really working." Well, we pray over you, and then God just speaks that over you. Yeah, you've got a gift of healing. And then faith rises up, you go, "Okay, I can get the job done." And then you've received that gift through prophecy. Because it's the word of God, God's words full of his life and his power pouring into you. And then out of you, the gift of God can come. So that's something that can happen. As we prophesy over you today, God might just release a new gift on you that maybe something you wanted, but you were kind of afraid to ask it or afraid to even talk about it because you're like, "Well, I don't know." Or maybe it's something you've never even thought of. But as God speaks it, you go, "Yeah, that's me. I want that." 1 Timothy 1:18, another thing that can come through prophecy, Paul writes again to Timothy, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." You know, when God speaks something to you, it's coming straight from his spirit, and you feel it, and your spirit rises up, and you're like, "That's true. That's from God." And you just know it. That gives you power. That gives you strength. Like I mentioned it previously, when we were in Romania, there were times where we were like ready to give up, but then we would remember these prophecies. One in particular, it was going back to 99-2000, my new member's prophecy. Somebody prophesied that I would go to places that I've never even thought of, and that I would plant churches. And there were two important things in there. One, places I'd never thought of, and churches, that it was plural. And so we're in Romania, and I remembered that prophecy at one point, because it was tough, and we had one small struggling church, and I'm like, "I don't know if this is even worth it, and what are we doing?" And I remembered that prophecy, and I'm like, "Romania is a place I never even thought of. You know, I didn't even know Romania existed until like a year before I went there." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm here." That was a couple of years previously. But then, so I'm like, okay, so Romania accounts for that prophecy, and then it was the churches thing. I'm like, "God, you promised churches. That's plural, God. We're not going to give up till we got churches." And so we kept fighting, kept praying, kept believing God, and now we have churches in Romania. Prophecy will give you that strength to keep fighting. You know, whether it's maybe God speaks over you and says, "I'm calling you to teach the Bible, and you're going to have wisdom and strength and grace as you teach the Word of God, and people are going to, their lives are going to change." And you hear this and you're like, "But I barely even understand it." Well, you grab a hold of that prophetic word. That's going to give you strength to keep studying and keep learning and keep listening until you really, you have that. And you do know the word of God and you are able to teach it to people. Or maybe he speaks, you know, that you're going to be a missionary in India. And you're like, man, but all, I'm just here in Hartford or I'm here in Watertown or Oconomowoc. And I don't know, everything, I'm just working a job and things aren't really working out. I don't know what the deal is. But you grab a hold of that and God's going to make it come to pass. That gives you strength to fight. To fight until the end, to hold on in faith. All right, so those are some of the things that happen through prophetic ministry. It's for your upbuilding, for your encouragement, for your consolation, to build you up, stir you up, and cheer you up. It's to impart a gift to you. God might do that to you today, give you a new gift, a spiritual gift that you didn't know you had or that you've wanted and been crying out for. And it's to give you grace and strength to continue to fight and hold on in faith until the end. Now, a few pointers as I wrap up here. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part. We're not reading your mind. You know, God doesn't open up to us the book of your life and then we flip through it and we know everything about you and all your fears and worries and hopes and desires. So there's a chance, you know, we're pretty good. We're pretty awesome at hearing from God, but there's a chance as we pray over you, we might not bring up something. We won't bring up everything in your life. So there might be some sin that you're dealing with or something that you haven't let go of yet, and we don't bring it up. That doesn't mean God's okay with that. Doesn't mean that you can keep cheating on your taxes or kicking your dog or whatever it is. God sees that sin. You got to deal with that. He just doesn't want to embarrass you in front of everybody else. It also could be, you know, we're not going to bring up everything that you're called to do, every gift you have, every destiny that's before you. God will show us certain little things, but we might, you know, you might want to play piano, and we don't bring that up. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to play piano. You want to play piano? Play piano! You don't need us to prophesy that over you. Just get a piano and play it. It's that simple. Alright, so we know in part. So there's that. Number two, test everything. I've seen two extremes with prophetic ministry. You've got, and I ran into this a lot in Romania, you'd have guys that were like, well, he said, thus saith the Lord. This is true. I can't disagree with that. I can't doubt that because he said, thus saith the Lord. And so it's going to happen. So, you know, even if I go up to them and say, thus saith the Lord, the sky is made of cream cheese. They go, well, I got to believe that. I receive it by faith. Okay. So you've got like the hyper faith guys that go, well, it's a prophecy. I got to believe it and it's going to be true. And then you've got the other side that goes, ah, what the heck? This doesn't make any sense. I think it's a scam. And oh, you're just kind of, you know, you talk to my family members and you're just thinking about who I am and how things make sense. And nah, none of that's really true. So you've got these two extremes. Both of those are wrong reactions to prophecy. Paul deals with this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 20, he says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. So don't just throw it out, you know. And if you've been around for a while, you've probably received some prophecies from people, hopefully not in this church, that you're like, yeah, that was dumb. That doesn't make any sense. A friend of mine, somebody prophesied over him, essentially that he would fall into sin, but that was okay because that was God's plan for him. Like, no, that's not God's plan and that's not okay. So then he heard that. He's like, no, I'm not going to receive that. Test everything. Don't despise prophecy and say, well, now prophecy's not true. Everything's just fake and these guys don't know what they're talking about. No, one guy had a stupid prophecy. So you test it and get rid of the stupid stuff, but hold fast to what is good. So you don't want to just blindly receive everything, but you don't want to just throw it all out either. You test it. And so as we prophesy over you, you know, hopefully we won't have anything that goes against the word of God. We're pretty good. But, you know, do test it anyway. But especially if we say something, you're like, I just don't feel that. You know, it's never really been my desire. I don't really notice this. Okay, that's not a big deal. We'll have everything recorded, and we'll give you the MP3s later or a CD, however you want it. So hold on to it. Don't just trash it. But you can put it on the shelf and say, you know what? If it's from God, it'll come to pass. I just don't see it right now. That's okay. Maybe it's from God, and it'll come to pass later on. Maybe it wasn't. One of us just heard something random that wasn't from God. But we're pretty good, and the Holy Spirit's here speaking through us. So I think you're going to be really encouraged by him. But do test everything, but don't throw it out. Don't just receive everything blindly. The third pointer, you got to nurture your gift. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul mentioned previously that Timothy received some gift through the laying on of hands during, you know, as they prophesied over him. So whatever gift that was, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was to be able to preach or to be able to teach the Bible or a gift of healing or prophecy. We don't know what it was, but whatever it was, he received it through laying on of hands as they prophesied over him. But Paul encourages him, fan that gift into flame. So we'll prophesy over you today, and you're going to hear some stuff. You're going to be like, yeah, that's me, or I want that, or man, that's awesome. I'd love to see that. It's not going to happen just instantly. Boom, now suddenly you've got all these things that God prophesied over. You've got to fan it into flame. If God prophesies, you know, speaks over you that you're called to teach the Bible, and you're going to teach it with wisdom and with grace, you got to study the Bible. You can't just go home and watch YouTube and think God will magically, boom, open up your mind and you understand the Word of God. You got to study the Bible. You got to read books. Watch YouTube videos about the Bible. That's fine. But you actually have to walk toward this gift and this calling and this destiny that God has for you. It won't happen automatically. You have to seek it. All right. I think that's probably enough basis for getting going here. So why don't we have...